A federal ruling with a major impact on the gig economy. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The National Labor Relations Board said yesterday that rideshare drivers are independent contractors, not employees. That means they don't have the right to organize unions and collectively bargain. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Recent months have seen a wave of activism from rideshare drivers, like this protest at LAX last week. But the opinion from the labor board could cut short more widespread organizing efforts by gig workers.
This is a really big boon for gig companies.
Vina Dubel is a professor of law at UC Hastings. She says some employee rights, like minimum wage, could still be protected under state rulings in places like California.
But what it does impact is all of these workers who are trying to organize for better working conditions.
Because the right to organize falls strictly under federal jurisdiction. The opinion could be reversed under a different administration, but focusing on whether gig workers are employees or contractors misses the point, says Arun Sundarajan, a business professor at NYU.
Our model of labor categorization is outdated.
Because many workers fall somewhere in between. And as the nature of work continues to change, he says the legal framework may need to evolve as well. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down this morning in the 1 to 2 tenths of a percent range, with the Dow future down 61 points. The New Orleans Pelicans won the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery last night. The Pelicans will likely pick Duke's Zion Williamson, who analysts say is so good he'll transform the team immediately. The thing about the lottery is any of the 14 teams that don't qualify for the playoffs has at least a shot to take home the big prize. As Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, there's a good reason why the NBA makes its draft a game of chance.
NBA teams can only have 5 players on the court at a time, so
one great player can make a huge difference.
Jonathan Jensen teaches sports management at the University of North Carolina.
In 2003, LeBron James took a Cleveland Cavaliers team that really had no other good players all the way to the NBA Finals.
And that success translated into lots of cash for the Rust Belt, says veteran basketball writer Tommy Beer.
If you look at the impact that LeBron James has had on the GDP, so to speak, of Northeast Ohio and Cleveland in particular, it's a remarkably dramatic impact.
Here's why all of this matters. The impact of one player can be so great, teams could be tempted to play badly on purpose for a chance at winning the top pick. That's bad news for the league, says Beer.
People pay a lot of money to purchase tickets to watch an NBA product. They want that the best product possible on the floor.
The NBA knows this, and that's why it's tried to prevent tanking by giving other bad teams and teams that aren't quite as bad a reasonable shot of winning the lottery. I'm Andy Euler from Marketplace.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
If you spend time browsing for cute animal photos on the internet, you may have stumbled across the pangolin. The exotic animal may be adorable, but several species are endangered. That's because they are heavily trafficked for their scales. For more on pangolins, I'm joined by Rachel Bale, senior editor at National Geographic. Good morning.
Good morning.
So for people who have never seen or heard of a pangolin before, what is so special about them?
Pangolins are the world's only scaly mammal. I like to describe them as a cross between a dinosaur and a golden retriever. There are 8 different species. They can weigh anywhere from a couple pounds to the giant pangolin is, you know, like German shepherd sized. But they are the most trafficked mammal in the world.
Why are they in such high demand?
Pangolin scales are in demand primarily for traditional Chinese medicine. They're dried, ground into powder, and used to supposedly cure anything from lactation difficulties to arthritis.
There's not a ton of economic data on this particular market for pangolin scales and trafficking of pangolins. Why is it so hard to get that information?
The wildlife trade in general is just like any other black market trade. Most of it isn't recorded. So right now, all we can really go off of to understand the scale of it is seizure data, how much police actually intercept. And that's estimated to maybe be about a quarter of all trade.
Some of the behaviors of the pangolin, which I learned about from your article, that they're nocturnal, they don't interact much with people. How does that complicate efforts to cut down on poaching?
So because their main defense is to roll up into a ball, it's really easy for a poacher just to walk up and grab them. And because they are really hard to find, that means the people who are best positioned to do that are typically hunters who live in rural areas. And the problem is that most of these communities are very poor. There aren't many resources, and there aren't many alternative livelihoods to hunting. And so if you catch a pangolin, that could serve as your income for an entire month or longer once you sell it up the supply chain. So what's really needed to try to crack down on the poaching side of things is for community economic development, for capacity building on the ground to try to help people find alternative livelihoods that are less destructive to wildlife.
Rachel Bale is a senior editor at National Geographic. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And her article is in the June issue of the magazine. I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.